Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
This might be the best song for Arizona State this year. A team picked to win four games. Lost three on the season.
Nobody thought we could do it, Adrian. Nobody thought we could do it, and I did it.
This Arizona State team showed that even more than the idea of what they were, of just, you know, of a fun, plucky team, they competed with one of the best teams in the country in Texas. They took them to the wire, and they ultimately end up losing in overtime because Quinn Ewers throws an absolute freaking dime in the second overtime, and Arizona State just couldn't get it done.
But the fact that they were able to hang in there with such a physical team through the fourth quarter and even down by two scores, able to get it so quickly back to an even game, that is just unfreaking believable. I still could not believe, like, you tune in, what? If you hadn't watched any of that game, you come in 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you're like, okay, you know what? The air is gone for Arizona State. Texas is just sailing, but absolutely not. Nope, that was not the way that it went at all. And props to Kenny Dillingham and Sam Levin and Cam Scataboo. And I put it solely on those three and then a little bit on offensive coordinator Marcus Arroyo as well.
The for me, the 30,000-foot takeaway from this game is Arizona State belonged. That is what I came away from this. Like, immediately. That game's over. You know, it's a lot of, you know, again, I'm in a room full of Duck fans. Everybody's like nodding along, like, you know what? That's a bum Arizona State loss. They belong. Like, that was like, nobody came out of that game going, ah, well, you know, seeding and all this. Like, no, it was
shouldn't have been there.
It was a great game. And I'm going to contrast this with the Ducks. And this is kind of what I mean as far as like the expectations versus for Arizona State versus Oregon. Arizona State with Kenny Dillingham, this was supposed to be a dog ass team. They're supposed to be under sanctions and, you know, be shorthanded and be struggling to kind of build from within. And he gets a transfer running back from Sacramento State and Cam Scataboo, a three-star, if you squint, undersized quarterback in Sam Levitt from West Lynn. It's not exactly the place that's pumping out, you know, high-level college quarterbacks. And they pair it with just a bunch of dudes that just fought for each other. And you've already seen the social media posts from the players. They're like, I'm coming back. I'm not hitting the transfer portal. I want to run this thing back. Scataboo is going to be probably the second running back taken in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be Genty than him. Like, I don't think he's going to be a first-round draft pick, but somebody's going to look at him and go, hey, the guy that just ran for 1,500 yards and caught for 500 more, also, he can pass block. Also, he's tough as nails, like, runs between the tackles. He's got breakaway speed. Like, he does all of the things.
He'll throw the ball for us on a trick play.
That's
a second-round steal right there.
He's just a dude. He's just a dude, right? And, you know, I don't expect Arizona State to run this thing back, but they're going to be the favorites going into the Big 12 next year.
Yeah.
Like, that, I don't think that's going to be a surprise. You've gotten Deion Sanders come out and say, you know, hey, congratulations to Coach Dillingham. You really are the coach of the year. I thought that was big of Prime to do that. I genuinely did, because you don't often see, like, I wouldn't expect Dan Lanning to do that for Lincoln Riley or for Lincoln Riley to do that for Dan Lanning.
I mean, Dan to do that for Ryan Day or something after it. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about interconference. Like, okay. I guess it's true. Yeah, they are
now. They are.
Yeah. I still had.
He didn't do it for Cignetti, and Cignetti won this year.
Yeah, it's exactly what I mean.
A great point. Yeah.
For me, that was a pretty classy move by Prime, but also it was a recognition of what Arizona State has been. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when I talk about Oregon versus, you know, expectation. Arizona State, everything past four wins was a bonus for them. That's the thing, is like them being remotely competitive was already a win. Then you throw on, they go and win the conference. They're playing with house money. But I don't think they saw it that way. I think they genuinely believe, and I think Dillingham genuinely believed that they were a better team than they were being afforded. But Arizona State alum, fans, supporters, even though they lost, they're all walking away with their heads held high. And I don't even think because they lost in overtime. It was because the level of competition that they were there with. If you're an Oregon fan, you're looking at your game, let's say that even the game was closer. Let's say it's not a nail-biter, but it's Ohio State walks away with a convincing enough win. You're disappointed even then simply because the expectation was title. And I think like that's when you're talking about like where teams are in their pecking order. And the thing for me is, and Dusty and I have joked about this for 2 years, did Arizona State, is the sleeping giant awake? Like, is that, are they a team that we can see, like, are they going to be the king of the Big 12?
If anyone can do it, it's Dillingham. Just but looking at the staff that he's assembled, do you know that the furthest person, so on his staff, the furthest person was 50 miles away growing up from Arizona State. So every coach either played at Arizona State or they grew up in the area. Mm-hmm. So everyone knows what it's like to be from that Tempe area. Then he's gone out and he's found guys like Scadaboo, like Levitt, who were disrespected somewhere else. Now, the one thing that you'll notice, and some people took issue with it, and I didn't necessarily. It would depend on what I heard, right? I wasn't on the sideline, so I don't know. Remember when things were going wrong? Levitt and Scadaboo were yelling at each other, mm-hmm. at their teammates. Their teammates were yelling back and forth. Now, we don't know what was said, but it could have been a more fiery, hey, why aren't you doing this? Why didn't you miss your block here? We need to make this play. And initially, what most people see when they see that kind of fieriness is, oh, they're yelling and screaming at their teammates. They hit their teammates' hands. That's a bad teammate. They're not talking them up. They're not trying to promote them. Well, sometimes football isn't built like that. And when you have those blue-collar, chip-on-their-shoulder type guys, sometimes they play better when they yell and they scream at each other and they have a true passion.
We've seen it a million times. Yeah.
All the time. And it felt like this Arizona State team, they never gave up. They just got upset with themselves that what they were doing wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So you have this culture of people that understand what Arizona State is and what it can truly be. And now you've paired it with this blue-collar mentality from players where I should have been at a higher spot. Kim Scadaboo thinks that he should have been an Alabama type of running back, but he was sent down to Sac State because no one talked to him. Sam Levitt didn't get recruited by either of the colleges in his backyard. They didn't offer him. He wanted those scholarships. And then to make matters worse, he goes to a school that gave him that scholarship offer, and then the coach that wouldn't offer him goes there and tells him to leave again. So you have a group of players that almost that old school Mike Riley feel where, mm-hmm. hey, you're going to want to come here. We'll develop you.
Chip on your shoulder.
We'll give you that opportunity to get your revenge mixed with, we love this place. We're not going to leave this place. We love Arizona State. We're going to stay here as a coaching staff forever. I think you might have seen the beginnings of the rumblings of Arizona State waking up.
Well, it's obvious, too, that Kenny Dillingham went to the school of Dan Lanning and why Dan Lanning hired him to be the Ducks offensive coordinator, because Arizona State, as Will just laid out beautifully, you know, not really the team that had a chance. Nobody was expecting them mm-hmm. to do this at the beginning of the season. What did Tez Johnson say going into the game before Ohio State for the Rose Bowl in the quarterfinals of the college football playoff? Nobody gave us a chance. That is the Dan Lanning mentality, mm-hmm. like, hands down, from the top to the bottom. So it's
you make it up as you go, and you manufacture that chip.
Exactly.
I do want to talk about Tez a little bit later, too, and what he did with Will Howard after the game. I thought that was pretty damn impressive.
That was cool.
But this Arizona State team, they prove they belong. I think that's the takeaway. And Will talking about the coaching staff there, Hines Ward being the wide receiver coach is just And that always catches me off guard when I see him on the sideline. I'm like, oh, that's right. Hines Ward is the wide receiver coach at Arizona State. When that wide receiver picked up the 15-yard penalty for throwing the ball at the DB at his face, and Hines Ward, they cut to Hines Ward. Great job by the producer. Fantastic job by the producer in the truck. Be like, cut to Hines Ward, cut to Hines Ward, cut to Hines Ward. Because you caught every word of the bleepity bleep, 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 bleep off the field now. And I was like, ah, that's a football coach right there.
Yeah, it's Mario Cristobal style. But I kind of like that. I'm down for the chewing out when they need it.
I mean,
not just randomly, when you screw up like that, yeah, you need to hear it.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The impressive thing for me in this game, when it was all said and done, beyond Arizona State competing, was that time of possession. And I know Texas scored quick and all that, but for Arizona State to continue to manufacture yards, like at every point other than fourth down, if a fifth down existed, my God, Arizona State would be the best team in football, because they just could not get it done on fourth down. I mean, I don't – 3 of 6 is insane. 3 of 6 is insane. Just to blow those first three and then to get the final three, just –
Well, I mean, the first one you got was with your punter throwing it to your big defensive lineman.
Your 6'4", 290-pound defensive tackle.
Hilarious.
Boy, let me tell you, it was fun watching him because he was terrified. He looked back like he didn't turn his shoulders to catch the ball. He was like backpedaling up the field like, oh, God, please hit me in the numbers. And then he did the big guy thing of didn't tuck that thing away, and I'm like, oh no, he's gonna loaf bread this thing. I thought for sure he was gonna fumble. I was like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
He got next to the sideline.
And but that again goes to my point about Arizona State. They just, number one, holy crap, talk about putting your balls in the chop. I mean, you're playing with house money at that point in time. If you don't get it done, you're done anyways. Yeah. Texas had no idea that was coming.
No.
I mean, they were halfway lined up. They're like, all right, let's keep this thing going, kind of a deal. That's when the game changed. Like, that's when the game changed was that, for me, is they got the momentum kind of off that. And like, hey, you know, we can be there. We can make something happen. But that time of possession, 38 minutes to 22 minutes.
Yeah, that's a crazy
2-1?
It's a great game plan by Dillingham. Because basically what he said there is, you're going to wear down. And it didn't work in the first half. Running Cam Scataboo wasn't working. Throwing with Sam Levitt wasn't working because he couldn't use the play-action pass because they weren't biting on Scataboo getting a fake handoff. But it worked in the second half.
What was the line he kept using? They aren't taking the cheese?
Well, yeah. They weren't taking
the cheese. They weren't taking the cheese?
And then Sam Levitt used his legs. 60 yards rushing from a quarterback, and he looked great doing it.
He is slippery.
He's so good.
He is slip. Like,
so good.
How big is he? Is he like 6 foot
tall? 5'11".
Him listed at 6'2", and I'm not buying that.
No, he's probably okay. So if he's listed at 6'2", he's probably 6'1", 6'1".
I'll say 6'1".
But he's listed at 200 pounds. I'm buying that. Yeah. I'm buying that. He's a solid kid.
He's legit. He works really hard. When I was going through, when I thought that I would get to play a little bit after college, in the gym that I was lifting at, he was there a lot as well. He was one of those guys too. Like, as soon as high school classes ended for him, he was at that gym, and he was doing some sort of prehab. He was doing some sort of post-hab. He was stretching. He was working out. He was going through the whole process. This kid, he's smart. His brother played in the NFL. Yeah. Not at quarterback, but he played in the NFL. He knows how to be successful in football, and he will be. It's clear. Like, this is just the beginning of this kid.
I can't remember if it was on the broadcast or in the post-game show. They said going into next season, Sam Levitt is going to be on the top five of preseason Heisman lists.
He is. He's already on the Heisman watch list. Wow. He's
crazy.
Good. He's 19, maybe just turned 20. Like,
I mean, he's a redshirt freshman. I mean, he's still a baby.
He's only got room to grow. And here's the beauty, though. The head coach, it's Dillingham, the same guy who fixed Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, it's the same guy who coached Jordan Travis, who helped Jordan Travis become what he was, right? Yeah. Dillingham can coach quarterbacks. He's a little bit of a whisperer. I'm really excited. Maybe it's just recency bias. Maybe it's because the kid is a local kid. I really like what Levitt's got going on.
No, it's fun. And it's fun to talk about Arizona State. I was pulling for Boise State. I was pulling for Arizona State. I picked Texas to win the national title. That's,
yep.
I said that coming into this. I've said that all season. But I was still pulling for Arizona State because I love the underdog stories. They're so much fun. Not only that, I wanted an upset. Technically, Ohio State, Oregon's an upset. It's not an upset. Ohio State was favored. It's...
Yeah, I don't know.
But seating wise, it wasn't an upset. I mean, it's seating wise, it was an upset. But on the betting market, it wasn't. Arizona State was a 13.5-point dog.
Yeah, I don't. That was like the easiest ticket to cash yesterday.
I mean,
damn.
That's bonkers to me. All right, come up next, time for our worst day on the web. Let he who has not let prisoners out of jail for New Year's cast the first stone. First, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center update.